Peter. Did you get the 1 Peter yet?
Yes.
All right. Did you get the chapter 1?
Yes.
Did you get the chapter verse 18?
No.
Well, get to verse 18. 1 Peter 1, 18. If you're in 1 Peter and you're in chapter 1, you ought to be close to verse 18. All right. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Father, thank you that we could gather together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these people that have come out on this warm Sunday evening. We just pray that you would bless and be with us. Lord, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the good testimonies that we've heard tonight. Lord, we pray that you'd bless now this message. Use it to just draw us closer to you. Help us, Lord, to have a better appreciation of you and your word tonight. Again, thank you for the many, many blessings you've given to us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So things that are better than money. Obviously, we need money to live. We need money to survive. And there's nothing wrong with having money. Just don't allow the money to have you. That's just kind of the way it has to be. We need money for things. And there's nothing wrong with saving money. I think you ought to have a savings account. I think you ought to teach your kids and grandkids to have a savings account. Those of you that have a little extra money, it wouldn't hurt to put some extra money into your child's or your grandchildren's savings account. Teach them how to save money. Don't encourage them to go out and spend the first quarter they get. Some of these kids, they get a quarter in their pocket and they got to go to the store and buy it. No, teach them how to save it. I know that savings accounts pay absolutely nothing today. But it's still good to teach children and others, of course, to save money. We need to be good stewards of our money, operating it and using it in a right way. Tithing, I believe that God will bless you. I really personally believe, and I speak from experience, that when you tithe, God gives back to you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God makes that promise. The Lord makes that promise in Luke. And so it's good to tithe. It's good to give to missions. It's good to give to other things. But it's always it's advisable to make sure that you take good care of your money so it'll take care of you. But don't use it as a god. Don't use it or have it as an idol. Remember, the love of money is what? The root of all evil. That's the love of money. Not money itself, but the love of money. That desire, that idol that people set up. So the third thing that I wrote down here is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, and it's verse 18, and that is redemption. Redemption is better than money. All the money in the world cannot buy you salvation or forgiveness. All the money in the world. You take all the money that's in the world. I did a little study. I was working on this afternoon some more. And in 2020, there were reported 2,095 billionaires in the world. That's with a B. Billionaires. 2,095 billionaires in this world. With an estimated total net value of $8 trillion with a T, $1 trillion. You know, that's a lot of money. Do you know, to me, $1 million is a lot of money. Never had it in my life, you know, and maybe throughout my years have earned, I don't know, have no clue what I've earned, but never had $1 million in my possession. But $1 billion is 1,000 millions. Think about it. 1,000 millions is a billion. Do you know what a trillion is? It's 1,000 millions. No, 1,000 billions makes a trillion. 1,000 billions make a trillion. That's a lot of money. That's a huge amount of money. And so there's these 2,000 plus billionaires. They have this net worth of $8 trillion. Listen to some of these guys. Jeff Bezos, he's the CEO and founder of Amazon, the world's largest retailer. Some of you have been putting money in Jeff Bezos' pockets. We have too, right, Donazon? Donazon. He calls her Donazon. And there's Susanna-san. Where's Suzanne? Susanna-san. Everything is Amazon. And we order through Amazon, and many of you order through Amazon. But every time you order something through Amazon, you're adding to his $177 billion net worth. The guy is the richest man in the world. $177 billion is, and he's considered right now, or at least when this study was done, he was considered the richest man in the world. $177 billion, the guy. He has more money than he'll never spend that kind of money. He just bought a yacht. I forget what the yacht is worth, but he just bought a yacht that is, you know, I don't know how much it is. But these people, they have so much money that it's incredible. Elon Musk, CEO and founder of Tesla. He's also the chief designer and founder of SpaceX. He wants to put everybody on Mars, apparently. He's CEO and founder of Neuralink, and he's the founder of the Boring Company. The Boring Company, that's boring. No, that's drilling, digging. He's a founder of this Boring Company that makes tunnels. That's his specialty. Apparently he founded this company that makes tunnels. His net worth, estimated net worth, is $151 billion. That's a lot of money. Bernard Arnault is the chair and CEO of VLMH. It's the world's largest luxury goods business. He's worth $150 billion. Bill Gates used to be the richest man in the world. He's not anymore. Jeff Bezos beat him. But Bill Gates is the co-founder, you know who he is, of Microsoft, largest software company in the world, and co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I don't know how that thing's going right now because Bill and Melinda, I guess, are on the outs. But his estimated net worth is $124 billion. Mark Zuckerberg, one of the youngest billionaires in the world. He's, of course, CEO, chair, co-founder of Facebook, world's largest social networking service, as well as the co-CEO and co-founder of the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. His wife's name is Chan, and so they have this thing. I don't know what they do, but he's worth $97 billion. So those of you that have Facebook, you're putting money in that guy's pocket. You take all of these people and you add up, I did this earlier today, you add up their net worth and it's $699 billion. It's a lot of money. All that money is not going to get one of these guys into heaven. Not one. Jeff Bezos, I don't know if any of these men are saved. I have no clue. I won't stand here and judge whether they are or they aren't. But all of their billions will not get them into heaven. You know, I'm glad that the Lord did not say that we had to have all this money to get into heaven. Aren't you glad for that? Do you know the majority of people in this world would not be? What if the Lord said, you got to have $1 million to go to heaven? Most people wouldn't go, couldn't go. Most people couldn't go. I'm so glad. It doesn't matter. The richest Jeff Bezos, if he turned his heart over to Jesus Christ, he can go to heaven. And it doesn't take $177 billion to go. The poorest person in the world can go to heaven. And we know some of us might fall into that poor category. I'm so glad that it's not the money or our assets or the things we own or whatever. None of those things tells us if we're going to go to heaven or not. But some people think that their money is going to allow them into heaven. Listen, when you die, we already read earlier today, when we brought nothing into the world, and we're carrying nothing out. There's going to be no banks following us. We're not going to have our checkbook tucked in our pocket to when we get to the pearly gates, so we can write a check to God to get in. That's not how you get in to heaven. The only way that you can get into heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. That's money. That's money. Silver and gold. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ is the only way. You may be poorer than poor. There's an example in the Bible of a rich man and a poor man in Luke 16. The rich man fared sumptuously every day. He was dressed in purple and had everything that he needed. And the poor man was laid outside of his gate, just waiting for some crumbs to fall from the table that somebody might sweep them up and bring them out to poor Lazarus, because he had nothing. He was sick. He was poor. And he dies and he goes to paradise or Abraham's bosom. The rich man dies, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. So it doesn't matter if you have money or not. I'm sure that some of these guys that I just told you about, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Bernard Arnault, or Bill Gates, or Mark Zuckerberg, if none of these guys get saved and they're going to die someday, I wonder what they think the moment they die, that they realize that all of their money and all their holdings didn't do it for them. There's going to be a rude awakening for so many when they die. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Hebrews 9, 12. Hebrews 9, 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He obtained that for us through his blood. It's not money. We may have some rich people in this church. I don't know if we do or not. I believe that we're more rich spiritually than we are in material things. You might have a savings account. We have a small savings account. But just because you have a little savings account doesn't mean it's going to get you into heaven. Or if you're worth $177 billion. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that's going to do it. Only Christ's death on the cross, that's how people are saved. That's how we're all saved. It's through his death, his burial, his resurrection, the gospel, in believing upon that gospel message. Colossians 1:14. Have you ever asked somebody, a lost person, about going to heaven? And sometimes you get responses like, well, I think I'm good enough. I think that I'm going to make it. I'm not as bad as some people. I haven't done, you know, as bad as so-and-so or whatever. I'm a good person. You hear that a lot from lost people. They think that they're good enough to go to heaven, but there's nobody good enough to go to heaven. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy that spiritual need that we have. He's the only one, and through his blood. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have that redemption through his blood, and we have forgiveness of sins. It's not anything that you or I do. It's only through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. If we had to pay a lot of money to go to heaven, most people wouldn't make it. I'm so thankful that we don't have to pay to go to heaven. I'm so thankful that it's me going to heaven is not based on my bank account or based upon the amount of money that I have made down through the years. See, there are things that's better than money. Now try to tell a Jeff Bezos or Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates or one of these people, try to tell them that and they'll laugh in your face because money to them is their God. It means everything to them. They have built their life. They built everything around that God, that idol of money that they've had in their life. And they've been very successful in doing and making that money. But that's not going to help them when it comes time to die. Yes, they might be able to get a really good doctor and a really good hospital and a really an ace group of people to really help them and extend their life as long as they can. And with our medical technology today, you can sometimes get your life extended for a little while. But there's going to come a time in everybody's life in which you're done. You're going to breathe your last breath. Your heart's going to beat for the last time. You're going to close your eyes and you're going to die. And what you've done with Jesus Christ during your life is what is going to allow you into heaven or not. Or what you haven't done with Jesus Christ. It's not anything else. So a good name is better than money. The Bible is better than money. Redemption is better than money. Let's look at the fourth one. Go over to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. The fear of God. Something that we don't hear a lot today. People don't want to acknowledge a fear of God. But in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16, look what it says. Proverbs 15, 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. You're better off having a good, healthy fear of God than having anything else. Great treasure. Along with great treasure comes trouble, right? But again, we see that the fear of God is even more important than having treasures in our life. And so the fear of God is something that is vital for our life. We need that. Every single one of us need a good, healthy fear of God. I don't mean that you walk around constantly looking over your shoulder thinking God's going to strike you dead. Sometimes people are like that. They're constantly thinking that God is going to do something to them. God's going to hurt them. God's going to, you know, I just don't picture God that way. I picture God as a God of love, and when he has to step in and chastise, he will step in and chastise. The Bible makes that very clear. Hebrews 12 makes that very clear, that God chastises his own. But I don't think we have to walk around constantly afraid of God. He's our loving Father. Now, have a healthy fear of him, to understand that he will hold us accountable for the way we act and the things that we do in our life. Every good father should have children that have a healthy fear towards their father. Just a healthy fear that, hey, I better not go against dad because, dad is known to discipline. Dad is known to punish. And dad is going to, do that. But they shouldn't walk around scared of their father. But they should walk around with a good, healthy fear of their father or their parent or their mother. Let's throw the moms in there, too. I always had a healthy fear of my mother. Boy, when she said, wait till your father gets home, that was enough right there. Of course, I still acted up as a child. My poor mother, God rest her soul. She doesn't have to deal with us anymore, but we do. We act up. But a fear of God. Look at Proverbs 8:13. You're right there. Several places in the book of Proverbs, it talks about this fear. The fear of God is worth far more than all the money that we have in this world. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and pride and all of the things. We should, our fear of God should be so strong that we just hate sin. We don't want to have anything to do with sin. Amen. Psalm 111, verse 10. 111, Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is the root. That's where all of our wisdom starts, is with a fear of God. Just simply having a good, healthy fear of God. Go back to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, verse 27. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. God's fear is so important in our life. You know, a fear of God will just help you to have a better life. It's part of the fountain of life, it says. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It'll flourish in your life. Your life will flourish and it'll have meaning when you have a good, healthy, biblical fear of God. Psalm 5, back to the fifth Psalm. You're getting a little Bible exercise tonight. Psalm 5. If I can get out of the book of Job, I'll be doing good. There we go. Went back too far. Psalm 5, verse 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Good, healthy fear of God allows you and I to worship God better, to know God better, to follow the Lord. Look at, go back to Psalm 2 and verse 11. Psalm 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Just fear him, just serve him with fear. One more verse on this. Go back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. Exodus 20. Exodus 20, look at verse 20. Exodus 20, verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. What does the fear of God do? And it would be wonderful if our fear was such that we just don't want to sin against God. That should be all of our goals as Christians, is not to sin against God. You know what sin is. I know what, we all know what sin is. Did you ever notice though, we still sin? We still know what it is, and we know what not to do, and we know what to do, but sometimes we still what? We still do what we know we shouldn't do. The fear of God. That is better than money. So many Christians today, so many people today just, they don't have that healthy fear of God. One more and we're done. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Something that is more valuable than money. Things better than money. A good name, the Bible, redemption, the fear of God. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. That word virtuous simply means morally good. Morally good. Morally acceptable. And the writer of Proverbs, this was Solomon that wrote this particular one, which we believe he did. He's talking about a virtuous woman, a morally good woman. He says, who can find a virtuous woman? Question mark. But then he says, her price is far above rubies. She's worth more than all the rubies and the gold and the silver and the money in the world. A virtuous woman. Thank God, thank the Lord for the virtuous women that we have in our church. Amen. We have virtuous women in our church. That's a blessing. There are virtuous women in other Bible-believing churches. There are virtuous women all over. Thank God for them. Thank God for the Proverbs 31 wife, mother, and woman. Amen. Thank God for that. I have 16 characteristics that I found here in Proverbs 31 that deals with this virtuous woman. I'm just going to read them off to you. If you want to try to write them down, you can, but I'm going to move along, so you may not be able to get all of them, but I'll read them slowly. All right? I'll give them all to you. I think I have 16 different characteristics that's mentioned here that deals with this virtuous woman. Here we go. Number one, in verse 10, we see the virtuous woman has godly character. Godly character. Simply saying, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Godly character. Number two, in verses 11 and 12, I'll read the verses and I'll give it to you. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Secondly, we see that virtuous woman has godly confidence to be the wife that she needs to be to her husband. That's that godly confidence that the virtuous woman has. Verses 13 through 16, we see the virtuous woman has godly consideration. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchants, merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. This is a woman that considers her household. That's why I wrote this down, godly consideration for this virtuous woman. Number four, verse 17, look what it says. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. It's not that she lifts weights to do that. That's not what it's talking about. Yeah, carrying babies, yes. Yeah. You see, our mother's carrying like two in both hands, and sometimes they got another one out in front of them like this, carrying three of them. No, I wrote this down. The virtuous woman has godly courage. Godly courage she has when she girds her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. In verses 18 and 19, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. This godly conscience that she has. Godly conscience. She is so concerned about her household. She's so concerned about her children, her husband, that she is willing to do this. She'll stay up late at night working and doing things that she needs to do. That godly conscience that she has. In verse 20, we see the godly charity. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's constantly making sure that other people have their needs met. That's godly charity right there, the virtuous woman has. Number 7, verses 21 and 22. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Doesn't mean, guys, you send her out with a shovel. Hey, woman, go shovel the walkway. Go shovel the parking lot. Go shovel the driveway. No, that's not what we're talking about. You, sir, you take care of the shoveling outside. Amen. Don't send your wife out there, out to do the shoveling. Unless she begs to do it. I don't know too many that would beg to do it, but maybe you love to shovel, ladies. Go on out, have at it, you know. But she's not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes sure that the kids are dressed warm. Hey, don't go outside without your boots and your hat and your coats and your mittens and all those other things. You know, she's actually making those things for her kids. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Again, I wrote this down. Number 7, this godly covering. A godly covering. She make sure that everybody is taken care of. This is the virtuous woman. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. This number 8 is this virtuous woman is she's a godly citizen. Her husband is known in the gates primarily because of her. She advances him and she makes sure that he is well known, and she has such a testimony that testimony has flooded into his own life when he's sitting at the gate and he's dealing with the different things that men would do. They would sit at the gate and they would help judge. They would help make decisions. They would get wisdom. And she was such a wife to him that allowed him to have a good testimony in the neighborhood. Boy, this is a virtuous woman. She has a godly citizenship. Verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She has a godly cause. The godly cause that this virtuous woman. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. That, to me, I wrote this down, she just has godly conviction. Godly, she's convicted about things, but she has godly conviction about it. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Verse 26, She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. This is a virtuous woman has godly conversation. She knows how to talk, and she knows how to talk well, and she does it in a godly manner, not in an ungodly sense. Her speech is godly. Thank God for that. Verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. This is godly caution. She's always watching and making sure that everybody is taken care of. She's always looking well to the ways of her household, but she just doesn't sit around idle, doing nothing. You know the old saying, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. That goes not just for guys, gals. It goes for gals as well as guys. And so there's this godly caution that she's always making sure that she's being very careful about. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. That's a godly calling that she has, this virtuous woman, a godly calling. Verse 29, a godly course. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. That is a godly course that she has in her life. Godly course. Verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That to me is simply a godly conformity. She conforms to godliness, not to the world. In verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Well, I got to keep the C's all going, so I wrote down godly cheerfulness. Godly cheerfulness. And so all of these things, these 16 things, are evident of a virtuous woman. Would you say by looking at those verses that her price is far above rubies? She's worth far more than all the money in the world. Remember that? I got it back here. I just got to read it again because it made me chuckle. Anna Wallace. The children of Israel wanted bread, so the Lord sent manna. Old Clerk Wallace wanted a wife, and the devil sent a manna. You don't want a wife sent from the devil. Amen. You want a wife sent from God. That's what you want. Guys, if you're looking for a wife, make sure you find one from God. Because if you're not looking one from God, you're going to find one from the devil. And ladies, do the same thing. Ladies, if you're looking for a husband, you look to God for the husband. If you don't get it from the husband from God, you're going to get it from somewhere else. It's so important. Marry within God's will. Always do that. So, there are some things that are far more important than money. And they are a good name, the Word of God, redemption, the fear of God, and a virtuous woman. Now, there's other things in the Bible. Those are just the ones that I had. We're done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we could be here tonight. Thank you again, Lord, for these things that we looked at in your Word. Lord, we're so blessed to have a copy of your Word that gives us these.